The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The assembly may be seated. And grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Wagner household, there is a time-honored tradition that when we go on vacation, there is one thing Katie and I always check into: ghost tours. We love a good ghost tour. And it started actually, believe it or not, in our honeymoon when we were whisked away to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the place where every honeymooner goes, right? And we stayed in this bed and breakfast, and part of the fees included a personal tour with Miss Betty herself. Not one to pass over on a free tour of Gettysburg at night. We took Miss Betty and the other 10 people part of our personal tour on this tour. And we loved it. And that was the beginning of this infatuation. And in fact, fun fact for you, on this tour, we got to couple up with other people on the tour. We coupled up with Chicago Bears great Eric Kramer. Yes, mediocre quarterback Eric Kramer sat in my car as we went from destination to destination on this ghost tour. And we love ghost tours so much now, wherever we go. We've been to them in Galena. We were talking about this during our Sunday school today, actually. Charleston, South Carolina. In fact, that one was a family-friendly tour. We took the kids with us. Big mistake, as it turns out. Did not sleep the rest of the camping trip. 4 nights where all I heard was, "Is this bathroom haunted? This bathroom is this campsite is haunted. It's haunted. Isn't this restaurant totally haunted, right, Dad?" So you learn lessons as you go, but we love it. And as we've sort of evolved as a family, we haven't even limited ourselves to that. Our favorite thing to listen to on these long car rides is the History Goes Bump podcast, which mixes ghost stories with local history. We can't get enough. And I think it's this combination of sort of history and lore, this experience of sort of being startled and frightened and terrified, but in a good way, that kind of engages you and pulls you in. But my greatest regret is that I've never actually seen a ghost on any of these tours. But that's okay. That's why we have our gospel today. Because in our gospel today, they have a very different experience. Again, as I already mentioned, we are in the season of Easter. Resurrection appearances continue, replete this day with a group of witnesses seeing what they believe, at least at first, to be a ghost that, believe it or not, startles, frightens, and terrifies them. All those feelings that I get when I engage ghost exploring. The disciples, you see, are in this phase of the resurrection where they are all sharing their stories. As I mentioned already during that lovely children's sermon, the walk we took, was they're hearing about the resurrection. And they just heard about this walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus where this person accompanied these two disciples being revealed at the end to be the risen Lord himself. And as they get back to the group, these are the words they share right before our gospel picks up today. They, those two disciples, told what had happened on that road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they are regaling the rest of the disciples with stories of the risen Lord, guess who shows up? the risen Lord. And the risen Lord has beautiful words to share. Peace be with you. And it was in that moment that peace and calm and comfort washed over all the disciples. Oh, heck no, they were terrified. Are you kidding me? Read what happens. They are absolutely terrified. They're startled, and we're told they even had doubts in their hearts. Ooh, ooh. What's great about that is it puts them right in line with those who've had the same experience of the risen Lord before them. The women, Mary Magdalene and the others gathered at the tomb, who were startled and frightened and left in stunned silence in Mark's gospel. Thomas, right? Doubts arising in his heart as he was trying to make sense of what it was that stood in front of him. The risen Lord offers proof. It says here, touch and see that I am real. And this is a good reminder for us that the proof of the risen Lord is not found in the absence of a body, but instead in the embodied presence of Christ, both then as well as now. Jesus wants them to understand that this is not a spiritual resurrection. I am not a ghost. This is physical. This is flesh and blood. And this is something that all of you, variety of witnesses, are going to experience and verify independently and collectively. And as they have this experience, their fear gives way to joy, although they still were told to have some disbelief and wonder. And then Jesus speaks the most profound words next. Y'all got anything to eat? Those are his next words to them. Y'all got lunch? And they say, we do actually, believe it or not, we got some leftover fish. Make yourself a sandwich. And Jesus eats it, further proof. Why? Because if there's anything I learned from Casper, ghosts can't eat, okay? It is just verified proof. I saw it in a movie once, it's true, right? So Jesus proves to them, I can do all the things that living people do, including eating. In other words, in eating, there is further proof of the resurrection of the Lord. Just as in the breaking of that bread and preparing to eat, the resurrected Lord was revealed on that road to Emmaus. Just like in the breaking of the bread, in a few moments, we will once more stand in the real presence of the resurrected Lord once more. An action that we do week in and week out as we celebrate the Easter promise of resurrection all year round. Every time we gather, as repentance leads to resurrection and forgiveness. A meal, we're told, that is meant for all nations, Jesus said. Or as we like to say here, all are welcome. That is how we embody this experience. And so as I was thinking about, you know, experiencing the resurrection and sharing table fellowship together, I didn't have to think real hard to see how it is that we as a community, just in the last few weeks, have done this time and time again, almost every time we gather. Began some weeks back with our Wednesday dinners and holding the evening prayer. We started with food. Right? Breaking bread together, sharing soup together as a community, finding ourselves in worship together as we walk through the Lenten season, preparing ourselves to experience the resurrection that stands at the end of that experience. Then we had dinner church, a Thursday night, Maundy Thursday, in this space. Well done, Vicar Katie. You'll be invited back again next year to lead us once more. Hope your new call likes that. You'll be in here. And in this very space, we transformed it for the sake of breaking bread together, to hear once more Jesus institute a new way of living, one in service to one another. And so what did we do? We served one another communion. Around the table, we passed the bread. We broke bread that we could experience the very forgiveness that the disciples experienced there in the upper room that night. A few days later, we gathered in this space, transformed once more on Easter Sunday. On that day, what did we do? We broke bread together. And when we did it, we even took it a step further. As that breaking of the bread, we proclaimed as a community the great mystery at the center of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. You see, we do this over and over and over. The resurrection is revealed every time we gather to eat as a community. And you think I'm done, but I'm not. Because mixed in there, Pastor had a couple of funerals. And you know what we did? We gathered together, we worshiped, we gave thanks to God for the life of our dearly beloved saint now resting in their eternal care in God, and then we went and ate. Why? Because it provided space as a community to celebrate. Even in our mourning, in our grief, we find time to eat. Because it was in that space of sharing table fellowship that we were able to share stories of our loved one, that we were able to look at the pictures and artifacts from their life, that we were able to comfort each other in our grief through the promise of the resurrection. The resurrection has been revealed in the breaking of the bread all the way to the very original witnesses of that event. And it's not enough to just witness what happened. We have to witness to what happened. That's when the work comes in. That's when we are no longer disciples who follow, but apostles who are sent out. And we do it sometimes without even thinking about it. This morning, what did we do? We began by sharing the peace of Christ with each other. The same peace the risen Lord shared with the disciples that day. In a few minutes, we're going to share the resurrection meal in Christ broken and poured for us in this place once more. And then we're going to also share that truth. And I bet you know the words to it, right? Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia and amen.